Perspective. In fact, that's your first blank. All right, a proper perspective. A proper perspective. And God must be doing this because I didn't plan that. I didn't plan to have my two key words as perspective, but God did. And so maybe you need to have a different perspective. I don't know, but we all do. But we're in Titus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at just very briefly the first seven verses. And I know you don't believe me that there's not a whole lot to this lesson, but there really isn't. And so I think we can quickly go through it. It's a passage of Scripture that I don't know. I say not too long ago, and that's kind of relative because I still think it was several years ago. But it wasn't too long ago that I preached on this passage. And it's, we use Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 very loosely. You know that I quote this verse very often. You always know when we have visitors in the auditorium because I always get into the gospel. I say always. I'm pretty sure there's been a handful of times where maybe something didn't work out and I did it, but probably 99% of the time. It doesn't mean that just because we're getting into the gospel that there are visitors here, but I can guarantee you that if there are visitors here, most likely we'll be in the gospel. And you understand the reason why we do that is because who knows if they will ever darken the door again of a church that's going to give the gospel. And so I make it a clear a point to make sure that we get into the gospel, just like we did this morning. And so you can be praying the gospel would have its full effect. But we use Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Do you know Titus 3, 5? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And it continues to go on. That verse is key for us. And we use that in our gospel presentation to show, kind of like Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We show that it is God's work, not our work. We talked about that this morning. But we don't a lot of times know the context. A couple years ago, I preached the context, and it's an amazing context in which I don't think we take it out of context, but many times we miss the context. I'm not going to completely get into that tonight, but I think with discipleship that I was going through in my devotions, I finished 1 and 2 Timothy, wasn't sure where to go, and I thought, well, Titus seems to continue to flow through that. So I did very much pastoral in nature in helping a pastor know what to teach and preach. And so I jumped into Titus and made my way into chapter 3, and this caught my attention. I said, you know what, this goes right along with discipleship. And so tonight, yeah, it's a little bit of a sidetrack, but I want to share just a little bit from this passage that I think will help us. And so in your notes, we'll be going through them. A proper perspective, that's your first blank, a proper perspective. Notice in Titus chapter 3, he starts off with this phrase, put them in mind, okay? I have put them to mind, and you'll see what I mean here in just a moment. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Let me go ahead and read the first seven verses. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Father, help me as we go through this little study tonight for a few moments before the Lord's Supper, and that we can make sense of this, and it will help us in our discipleship endeavors. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, he starts off by saying, put them in mind, or in my notes, put them to mind, or in other words, remind them of what? He says, put them to mind. Now, keep in mind that this has a lot to do with a pastor and what he shares with his congregation. And whether we want to understand this or not, this, what I'm doing with you is discipleship, okay? I am helping you to learn things so that you can help other people in your life. I do not have the opportunity. I don't know all of Skip's neighbors. I don't know all of his friends. I don't know all the people that he rubs shoulders with. But if I can help Skip with things, then he can go out to his people. And same with Dan over here. You know, I don't know all of his the people in his life, but if I can help Dan, then he can help those. Not that Dan necessarily needs me or Skip needs me, but God has given the pastor for the people so that they can learn, okay? So that's what he's starting off here, And so Titus, being this young pastor, and he's given some instruction here that he would keep, put them in mind. Or in other words, the people that you are helping, help them to, or put it to mind, or help them to remember what? Remind them of previous teaching, okay? And that's your next two blanks there. To remind them of previous teaching. He says, put them to mind some things that they had been taught. I want you to help them remember. Do you realize that a big part of what a pastor does, a lot of people that attend a church like this, not everybody, but a lot of people that attend a church like this have been through a lot of the Bible and a lot of teaching. Some of you have been sitting under pastors preaching and teaching for many, many years. And I don't know if every passage of the Bible has been preached through, but you've sat under the preaching and teaching of God's Word for many, many years, some not as long as others, but we've heard those. You know, a big part of what a pastor does is reminding people the things that you know. I am very much aware that it's not the first time that you've heard these things. Sometimes people go out and shake my hand and say, you know, that was a good reminder. You know, that's so true. You know, and I don't take offense at that. You know, that it's just like, oh, you've heard this before? I mean, most of us have heard things before. We're supposed to be reminded, and that is what Titus is supposed to do here. See, I want you to help these people remember some things in their lives, and he's going to say, and you need to remember some things in your life, okay? And that's where he's going at here. And so they're supposed to remind these Christians, whether they're newly saved Christians or Christians that have been saved for a long time, remind them of previous teaching. Remind them of things that they had learned in the past. And I want to just go through very quickly some things that he mentions here. He says, so as a pastor, remind your people to do these things. And as I go through, this is not going to be the first time that you've heard these things, but I just want to use the opportunity to remind you. And here's why I'm going through this. A big part of discipleship, as you find people to mentor and help, is not always that you're going to be the hero and you're going to teach them new things that they don't know, but it's to remind them of things that they've learned. Every one of us needs to remember things that we already know. And by the way, if we're sitting like this in a congregation, and the pastor says, open up to this passage, and it's easy for us to say, oh, I already know this passage. And it would be easy for us then to close our Bibles and say, I don't need this. I already know it. I already do it. I already have it. Well, that would be a very proud thing to think. But the fact of the matter is God says that we need to be reminded of these things. Isn't it easy for us to forget? In fact, that is another key word for tonight. Remember, as we get into the Lord's table. But remember, remind ourselves. So many times I read passages of Scripture that I already am very familiar with, that I've worked on in the past, and God brings it up, and I say, oh, yes, I need to do this. The reminders. And so tonight I'm going to remind you just a little bit of some things, but here's the main point. Is in your discipleship, don't be caught up in thinking, I've got to give new material to people. No, I'm okay to remind people of things over and over and over and over again. And if God will be faithful to us, and he will, then maybe in the end we will learn these things and we will be able to practice them, okay? And so that's what the Christian life is all about, is being reminded. Okay, so let me remind you, just like Titus is being reminded, or he's reminding these people. First of all, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. And so again, tonight, honestly, my main point was just to say, in your discipleship, be in the habit of reminding people. It's no problem reminding people. But for what we're going through, I thought I'm going to go ahead and remind you tonight. First of all, he says to be subject to principalities and powers. And there's your next blank there, to be subject. What does it mean to be subject? And so as I'm discipling you, it is a reminder that in your Christian life, you need to be subject to the principalities and powers, the people that God has placed in you, in your life, as an authority. And we could go through the list of people, and I want to encourage you, there are many people as Christians that say, you know what, they don't have any authority over me. Go back to Romans chapter 12 and check out what God says there. And he does say that those people that he's put in our lives, or is it chapter 13? I forget. Is it 13? Chapter 13? 12? Okay. Whatever. It's one of those. Okay. In Romans, he tells us that we need to be subject under these authorities. I have talked to people that have said, listen, you know, I'm not going to obey them. I answer to God. Now let me tell you something. If you answer to God, then you answer to that authority. Because in the book of Romans, he tells us that you are responsible to be under that authority. It doesn't mean that they're always right. It doesn't mean that they're godly. But he says in certain civil things, you will then follow civil authority. They don't have a right to come into your home. They don't have a right to come into the church. And then vice versa. I don't have a right to go out into the civil authorities, and I don't have a right to, you know, it has its balances where we're at. And I could be getting into another subject, but where there's authority, and when we're in that realm, we live into that, and we put ourselves under that authority. And here, Titus is to remind these people that they need to be subject to the authority that God gives. And I just want to remind you, folks, don't forget. Yes, you say, show me chapter and verse. You know, that never, you know, they never told me to obey the speed limit. No, but God did. Okay? Because he said you'd obey that. And I know many people disregard things like that. But I, as your pastor, want to remind you that this is in God's word. And we have a responsibility to obey the people that God has put in charge of us, even whether they're saved or not. Okay? Whether they're right or not. Now, we ought to obey God rather than men. But he reminds them to be subject. We go to the next one, to obey magistrates. You're going to be able to figure out these blanks very easy tonight, okay? These are not hard. To obey magistrates. Do you know that God, the first is to be subject. I think the first one is a little bit more of the heart. I ask you the question, are you subject? Have you placed yourself under the authority that God has given you? You know, some people just don't place themselves under any authority. They go in the civilization, they will not place themselves under the civil authority. They come into a church and they will not place themselves under the leadership in the church. They, in a home, they will not place themselves under. They will not do it. Why? Because, you know, God is my authority. God is saying here that you're supposed to place yourself under authority. The first one is a mindset, my heart, that I am willing to put myself in the right spot where God put me. The second is then action, okay? I'm going to obey. This is what I'm told. This is what I do, okay? Again, in the right context. Now, some of you might be asking yourself the question, so what is, you know, what if the law, what if in civil affairs they tell me what to do in church? Okay, that is not what God gave. In church, we obey the authority of Christ. Okay, so they don't tell us what to do in church. And so we don't overstep the bounds. Okay, and the three of the ones that we follow, of course, God instituted the family, God instituted civil, you know, authority, and then in the church. Okay, so we have those three, and in that we place ourselves underneath that authority. Okay, so first is the heart, and then the act of obedience. And I just want to remind you, God says to obey. Do what you're supposed to do. Next is to be ready to every good work. He says to be ready. What does that mean, to be ready to every good work? That also, like the first one, is a heart issue. It's being ready. It's, you don't know what you're going to get to do, but you're ready to do an assignment. Some of us don't get ready, and then when the assignment comes, we have to contemplate, do I have time for this? Do I have the ability to do this? But are you ready? Are you ready right now to receive an assignment? God says to be ready to do good things. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared to whatever God says to do that you're going to do, that you don't have to take time to, you know, we pray through everything, but we don't need to pray to do right. We always do right. When God makes it clear, are you ready to do those things? And here, Titus is supposed to remind these people, be ready. He reminds them to speak evil of no man. And so I remind you of that tonight. We're supposed to be reminded, listen, there's nobody in life that I should be speaking evil against. I tell you what, I've been guilty of that many, many times. God, it's not edifying and it's not right to be speaking evil of men. Does God love all men? Does he? We have a hard time admitting that, don't we? They say, well, he loves the righteous, right? Who's that? Okay, that's none of us. He's the only righteous, and we need to be very careful. We speak evil of a lot of people, but we need to be careful of speaking evil of people that Jesus loves, okay? And so we're not supposed to speak evil of people. And I just, to you, just like Titus, remind you, listen, we need to be ready to good works, but we need to be speaking evil of no man. He says to be no brawlers, to be no purple that's contentious, and to try to start fights. You ever known of somebody that just loves to start fights and get into contention? Listen, he says, listen, don't be a brawler. Don't be a person that is going to be contentious. To be gentle to people. We need to be gentle in our approach. Some of us can be very harsh in the way we deal with people, and we're supposed to be gentle. It doesn't, you know, there's no exceptions. I don't have a right just because certain people do certain things and they've crossed the line. No, God says to be gentle. And so God reminds us to be gentle. Listen, I'm supposed to be gentle unto all men. And so I watch my approach and how things come up, and we show our trust in God by how gentle we are with people. And then he says to show all meekness unto all men as well. To show all meekness unto all men. That's a humility that I have, even when maybe I've been wronged and I could lay out the law and I could be strong and I could come back, and I decide not to do that. I show all meekness. Okay, now I gave you those things, and I want to get into context. So that's put them in mind or as he says, put them in mind. So I want to remind you to do this. That's what discipleship is to remind people of how they should act. By the way, everyone can use reminders here in this church. Remind people. Again, just remind them of what God expects. And it's a good reminder, as you guys gave your testimony tonight, what a reminder that it is that I'm supposed to live a life that's consecrated to the Lord, that I'm supposed to be thankful, that I'm supposed to appreciate family, I'm supposed to appreciate safety on the road, that those are good things. And so we're supposed to remind people. The next section is to remind, put me to mind. He doesn't necessarily say that, but you notice, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. And so I'm supposed to, if I'm discipling you, I'm supposed to help you be reminded. But then he said, I want you to remember that you used to struggle with some of these things as well. And that's another point I want to get with discipleship, is when we are helping people, we can get to the idea that we have things to offer them. And God wants us to remember, just remember that you went through this as well. Just remember it took you years to learn this. You know, it's easy as a parent to say, you know, listen, you're not trusting the Lord. You're not thinking through this. You're not being kind. You're doing this. And it's like, wait a second, how long did it take me to learn all these things? Right? See, God here is saying, listen, you need to remind people on how they're supposed to act, but just remember that you had the same issues. As you try to help other people, remember something, that just because maybe God has helped you doesn't mean that you are always had a handle on everything. Are you thankful that people were patient with you as you grew? Wow, I'm so glad that people didn't write me off. So should we be writing people off when they make mistakes? I mean, are people going to make mistakes? People are going to make mistakes. You're going to get frustrated with people. You are going to get frustrated with people right here. You're going to get frustrated with me. You know why? Because I'm a person. I'm a person. And I've got a flesh just like everybody else, and I'll do things, and you might get frustrated. I don't understand why he did that. I don't know why he said this. You're going to get frustrated with people sitting right around here. We do that. Why? Because we're all people. And but what Titus is being reminded here is saying, okay, you need to remind people, but just remember that you used to have situations like this. You used to have yours. And he goes into another section. I didn't give you any of those blanks because I knew I was going to be pressed with time, and I really got to close this section here. But just remember that you have issues as well. Any perfect people in the congregation tonight? Hint, don't raise your hand. Okay? There's none perfect, right? Do we all make mistakes? We all make mistakes, folks. The people that you minister with, are they going to make mistakes? Do they need to learn? Do they need to grow? Yes. And here the reminder is listen, be patient. Just wait. Just remember, you guys had the same issue. Now, I want you to understand Titus 3:5. Okay, why is he saying, we quote the verse all the time, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy saved us. Here what Titus is learning, he says, listen, as you disciple people, to remind them about what they need to be reminded of. But don't forget that you were foolish, you were disobedient, you were deceived, you served divers lusts and pleasures, you were living in malice and envy, you were hateful, you hated one another. So I must remember what I have been taught. I need to remember, as you help people, remember that you went through it already as well. There's been one of the most helpful things that God has given me as I've tried to help my children is, you know, when I'm thinking, boy, why don't they get this? And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds me, it took you so long to get this. Be patient. Just wait. And that has helped me say, you know what? Listen, God is going to be faithful. Does God love my children? He does. Is he going to help them? Is he going to teach them? He's going to. Will they take it? I don't know. But he will do it. Folks, do you know that God is very capable of helping people bring them to himself? God can do it. The people that frustrate you, the people that you minister with, the people that you struggle with, listen, give them over to the Lord. God will do that, and you better love them. You better love them because they, I don't know if they love you, but they ought to love you because we all are people that make mistakes. So put me to mind. Put them to mind. Put me to mind. And put me to mind, lastly, I must remember what the Lord did for me. And don't you notice what is being said here? He says, for we ourselves, he goes through a list of things that we were, and then it goes into verse 4, but after the kindness of love and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not of works. So the context of this verse, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Again, we use that all the time with salvation. What he's saying is this. To put it into a nutshell, this is what he's saying. Teach people. Disciple people. Help people be reminded of the way they should live. Remind people. It's a good thing to do. Keeping in mind that you had to learn it as well. And what God did with you is that he showed you kindness. He showed you love. And it was all of grace. It was a gift that he gave you. You didn't even have to do anything. It was not by works of righteousness which you have done. So remember, this verse that we quote is in the context of showing us, be patient with people because he was patient with you. He loved you. You didn't need to work for it. You got it by grace. You need to be grace-giving to people as well. So all in all, I say with discipleship, folks, we have people to teach and to remind and help. But be careful. Be careful to be patient. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ showed you his love? Apart from your work, he freely gave you himself. He freely, think what God look like to us if he acted like we do with other people. The way we respond to people that frustrate us and struggle us and we respond. Can you imagine if that's the way God responded to you? Are you grateful that God does not respond to you that way? I am. That's the context of this verse. And I think it's perfect for discipleship as we help people. Listen, God is faithful and kind to you. Shouldn't we be that to others? We ought to. Praise the Lord for what he's taught us. Praise the Lord for what he's given to us. Let's be that to the people that we're trying to help. The people that you're trying to help, be patient with them. Love them. Be kind to them. Be a blessing to them. You say, what if they continue to do it? Don't you? I do. Sometimes I wonder, why does God continue to be faithful to me? Because I have to learn things over and over again. I can get very discouraged. I did it again. I did it again. I didn't do right. I didn't respond right. I did it again. And I'm so grateful that God is willing to continue to forgive me. Folks, that's the same attitude that we need to have to the people that we are around. He said, yeah, be faithful to remind them, but you better be careful. Be careful because I have been such a blessing to you. That's the context of Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 that we use for salvation. But boy, it just applies to our everyday life as we disciple other people. Be careful on being too hard with other people. Be patient. God is going to do his work. He's going to use us. And people are going to learn a lot of good things. But be patient with them. Show them the loving kindness that God has given to us. He certainly has done it for us. I hope that will be a blessing to you. I wholeheartedly plan on next week going right back into the Gospels and getting back on with our regular discipleship and learning. Okay, so what happens now? The 12 are chosen. Now what's going to take place? I love the study. I hope you do as well. We'll get into that again next week, Lord willing. All right? All right. It is such a privilege, and I know you're looking at the time and you're saying, boy, you took too long on that. Well, I'm sorry, but I really, as we go into this next time, and it doesn't take long, but forget the time just for a moment. It is time right now to focus on and remember on what God has done for us. Aren't you grateful that God is faithful and patient to us and He gave Himself for us? He gave His mercy and He gave us His grace. His mercy and grace. And so tonight here we're gathered together to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Very worth it. Very worth it. What has He done for us? And so tonight, in just a moment, you will have some time alone, but it's our time to worship. You're here tonight freely to worship the Lord. We're going to pass out a few elements. These things are tools. I like tools. Tools help us to accomplish something. The goal for tonight is to remember, and so God has given us two tools. Tool number one is the broken bread, if I could put it that way, that symbolizes what? And we say the broken body, but we've got to be careful when we say broken body. We understand actually He wasn't so broken. Oh, He was beat. He was whatever. But the brokenness of Him, especially when he passed the bread out, he made a point that when He passed the bread out that it was available to all. Aren't you thankful for that? Do you love the word whosoever in the Word of God? I'm so grateful for that word because it's available to all. And in a few moments, we're going to pass out the element of the broken bread and we're reminded that He made Himself available to me by giving us His mercy. And He went and He took my spot on the cross. He took my spot paying the penalty for sin. He took my spot. What amazing mercy. I don't have to do that. And so as we pass out that representation, that tool, use it as a tool to be reminded, God, thank You that You made Yourself available to me that I don't have to go to the cross. I don't have to go to hell. You have paid the penalty for me. Remember God's mercy. After that, we're going to pass out the juice, which again is a tool to remind us of what? His blood, and very specifically, that blood represents His grace, because not only did He take my spot, I don't have to have the punishment, but He gave me something. He gave me His righteousness, which only He deserved. His grace, mercy and grace. You know, it could be neutral. He could have just given me His mercy and says, go on. But no, he withheld the punishment, and then He gave me a place that's right next to Jesus Christ. Grace. Very amazing as we worship. And so if you're here tonight and you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've come to depend upon His finished work that was accomplished on the cross, then you have something to remember. And I want to encourage you to remember tonight what He has done. His mercy and His grace.